He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the weekly weekend review Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, CEO of Gunderson Capital Management. And Barry Kite is with us today, chartered financial analyst. His wisdom will come in very handy when we talk about what the Fed did this last week. But a lot of topics on the table here. Today, as usual, it was a very busy week in the market. You've got the Ukraine war dragging on. We really don't know how that will conclude. There's a lot of angles that it could take that wouldn't be pretty. We've got the, of course, 53 million people locked down in China with COVID, another outbreak there. We had a pretty good week in the market this past week. With the major indexes up about 3.5 to 4% overall. Oil dropped this past week from 135 clear down to 103. We had a big jump in interest rates this past week. They went up 16 basis points as the bond market continues to sink. And of course you had the first rate hike since 2018 with seven more hinted at. That's pretty much one per meeting. You had Goldman Sachs drop their target price on the S&P 500 this past week down to 4,700. I would say the word of the week is stagflation. That's what I'm hearing most in my industry from amongst many of my colleagues in the business. And, of course, you've got pretty much an energy crisis, particularly in Europe and here in the U.S. also to some extent. So we got a lot to talk about today. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, CEO of Gunderson Capital Management. We're a virtual nationwide firm. And I'm here with our chartered financial analyst, Barry Kite. Barry, welcome to the show on this week in review.
Yeah, another wild week. Of course, we had, the indices were up, I think, most three-day periods since 2020. So in light of a lot of the news, the indices did well.
Yeah, the Dow was up 1,600 points if you add up a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I can't say it was a really quality move, though. I see a lot of short covering out there in the market, and you had that really strange day on Wednesday with the Chinese stocks up 35 to 40%. So it was a crazy week. Now, I've been a professional money manager for the last 22 years. Spent my early days being an analyst, writing up individual companies of Wall Street firms, writing those research reports. Have been pretty well schooled in the subjects of valuations on not only individual stocks, but on the market. I've learned during my 21 years as a professional money manager that earnings are the bread and butter. That drives the market higher. So we'll take a look at the current earnings picture. Interest rates play a real big factor in the markets. We have had 40 years of falling interest rates. We pivoted last February, about a little over a year ago, and now we're in a rising interest rate environment. That also completely changes the environment. We are at Gunderson Capital Management, fee-based money managers, fee-based only. We don't have any commission products or insurance products, no. We're also unconstrained. I don't have to be fully invested. I don't have to be in tech. I don't have to be in foreign stocks. I don't have to be in all U.S. stocks. I can even use some inverse ETFs when I think that time is useful for inverse ETFs to hedge against big drops or trouble in the market. We will have another recession. We will have another bear market. And we have clients all over the country that use us to manage their portfolios for them. They like the fact that we're active money managers and we haven't drank the passive Kool-Aid that's been passed around Wall Street quite heavily. Because this is anything but a passive world. It is a very active world. Okay, well, the biggest news probably this past week, we'll get to the Ukraine situation, but I think, Barry, we got to talk about the Fed and, you know, the possibility of recession, what we're looking at for interest rates. Give us your summary of our friend Jerome Powell and the Fed and where they're at right now.
Yeah, so you know, kind of as expected, we've got the 25 point initial raise this week, and of course the some of the main news is that the Fed's expecting, or over half of them are expecting 7 quarter point moves this year, which would get us to 1.75. Also, some other notes from. From Jay is he believes that he doesn't see at least in the near term a recession on the horizon. We've of course heard things different. You've heard a lot of that. Some of what the Fed's doing could lead to a recession. So I thought that was interesting. Of course, it's the first time we've had any rate hike since 2018. You had, of course, Bullard was one of those who raised his hand for a 50 basis point move. So you've got, a few of those in the Fed that want things, want them to move faster. I think the Fed's going to do their best to signal, to the market, kind of what they're planning on doing. So, I don't envision any surprises along the way, at least in terms of in terms of a higher than a quarter point move. I think there was going to be something like that. We would know ahead of time. And of course, we heard the new term dovish tightening yesterday. Yeah. With the quarter point move. It was referred to as dovish tightening. I guess if they would have done a 50 point move, it would have just been referred to as tightening. So it's kind of, we'll see what kind of legs that term has.
We'll see how dovish it is, but I think the bottom line is we've been invested for the last many years in a falling interest rate environment, and of course investors have seen a 12-year bull market that began in 2009 with a favorable Fed putting the wind behind the back of equities, allowing multiples of P.E. ratios to expand. And you had a massive bull market in the bond market for the last 40 years. But everything has changed. It started to change last February, and then things started to really ramp up as the inflation numbers started to heat up. So now you've got a dovish, hawkish Fed, I guess is what they're calling it. Sounds pretty hawkish to me. But it changes the way you've got to look at the market and the way you've got to invest. If you want to have a 401k at work, if you're, got a big rollover that you're getting ready to retire, et cetera, this is a very different environment than the environment we had, let's just say, back in 2020, when you saw all the speculative stocks, the high-yield bonds, and the electric vehicle stocks doing so well. Wow, you can turn that upside down on its head here in 2022. This is a completely different market. The stocks that were last place in 2020 are now in first place. And the stocks that were in first place in 2020 are now in last place. It's a treacherous market for high PE stocks in a rising interest rate environment, otherwise known as growth stocks. And it's a treacherous environment for bond funds, which do not respond well at all to rising interest rates. But on the other side of the coin, you've got a favorable environment for a lot of areas of the market that flourish in a rising interest rate environment. So, you know, that's why active investing, in my opinion, is much more useful today than passive investing, because you just had the whole stock market flip upside down in the course of about 18 months here. Now we'll talk when we come back about the areas of the market that could flourish. I offer out a free newsletter that I've published for the last 23 years. You can get 2 weeks free at GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, Gunderson Capital Management has been around for 2006, so 16 years, but I've been in the industry for 22 years as a professional money manager, fee-based money manager. We also are regular contributors to SeekingAlpha.com, which is one of the top financial websites in the world these days. I was kind of brought up in it right from the ground floor when it first started. And there's a ranking service called Tip Ranks that ranks all of the writers on Seeking Alpha, which they track 8,267 of us, and we're in the top 2.5% of all of the writers out there with the stocks we write about and have brought people's attention to. Everything from fertilizer stocks to, steel stocks to technology stocks. We're not after the big names that are on the surface of the market. We try to dive down underneath the surface of the market a little bit. You can go to SeekingAlpha.com. You can also go to TipRanks and type in Bill Gunderson to see what I'm talking about. Now, of all the people in the industry that write research reports and whatnot, there's 16,172 that they track. We're in the top 5%, and we've made some pretty bold calls over the years, especially in the macro picture of the market. I do believe in some market timing along the way. We've been pretty bullish for the last 12 years since 2009. Why? Because earnings have been going up. And when earnings rise, the market follows after those earnings. Eventually, the earnings growth in the market will come to an end. Earnings will start to recede. Prospect for earnings, the earnings forecast will start to drop. And then we start to enter into the next bear market. The last one we had was 2008-2009. We saw 53% come out of the S&P 500. I was also managing money during the 2000.com explosion, which took 80% out of the NASDAQ. And that's why I have chosen the path of being an active money manager. That doesn't mean we're day trading and whipping in and out of stocks. But when the world zigs, you have to change things a little bit in your portfolios. We have just made a massive zig in the market, going from a falling interest rate environment to a rising interest rate environment. And you can't continue to invest like you have in the past. Barry, in that falling interest rate environment, really you go back to 1982 when interest rates were up around 20%. They got under 1%, and now we're back up to 2.2, right around there, and headed higher, okay? That's a massive pivot that you have to adjust your portfolio for. The first thing that comes to my mind are bond funds. Describe the relationship, Barry, between the bond market and interest rates.
Right. Well, they move in opposite directions. So as interest rates decline, and which is what we've saw, like you said, since essentially the late 80s, you know, it's one of the biggest bull markets for bonds in history, by the way, and a lot of fixed income managers made their name, you know, a pretty big name along the way.
They had Bill Gross, yeah.
Yep, Bill Gross, Gunlock, another one,
yep.
And they had a great environment to do it. And so as interest rates go down, but, you know, bond prices, you know, rise, and now, you know, vice versa. In an environment where you have rates going up, well, bond prices and bond funds in particular go down. And the other problem is, of course, as you see assets go down in a fund structure, right? You've got a lot of people, say, running for the door at the same time, and so fund managers got to pay those people out, you know, in dollars as they leave, and so they're usually selling into weakness. So, for example, if you've got someone who is okay holding that bond position for whatever asset allocation reasons they have it, well, they're still getting penalized because you've got, you know, the rest of your fund friends, right, running for the door in actually realizing losses in those bonds for you, which is why we tend to hold, you know, we encourage clients in our strategy holding individual bonds. So it's really up to us or you, the client, right, as to or using the investor when you want to part ways with that bond versus kind of being caught up in some frenzy of everyone else holding, say, the same, you know, particular bond mutual fund that you're in.
Yeah, and those bond ETFs, bond mutual funds, et cetera, you're just at the mercy of interest rates. You know, there's no way to control that. And it seems like one of the knowns in the market right now is we're in a rising interest rate environment. Barry also is a certified financial planner. Besides being a chartered financial analyst, those are a couple of pretty useful designations in today's world. And if you're sitting there with a lot of bond funds, according to an asset allocation of some sort, you know, you may want to think a little bit about the pathway ahead, which is not very favorable for bond funds. They're down about 6 to 8% so far this year, somewhere in that neighborhood. And we've only begun. We've only just begun, as the carpenter's saying, in this rising interest rate environment. Now, the second area of the market that is in harm's way of rising interest rates are higher P.E. ratio stocks, which generally you're going to find those in the innovation types of stocks, the biotech stocks, the high-tech stocks, and even the core technology stocks. You know, we mention ARC funds a lot, which is down 65% since interest rates started moving higher. That's because the most vulnerable areas of the market when interest rates start to move higher are the highest P.E. ratio, the highest growth stocks out there. And that is a lot of the Bitcoin miners, the electric battery makers, the gene splicing companies. And while, you know, we love the prospects long term of those stocks, this is a terrible environment to own those types of stocks because they're considered long duration stocks. Just like long duration bonds don't do well in a rising interest rate environment, long duration stocks don't do well in a rising interest rate environment. You won't find any bond funds or any long-duration stocks. Now, we had a lot of long-duration stocks in 2020. That's what led the market higher. And you can look at some of the calls, the market calls that we made during that COVID year and how right we were about them and some of the stocks we were buying back then that absolutely did fantastic. But now you've got a completely different environment. And as an unconstrained investor, I can go where I need to go when the world changes. And the world has changed big time in a lot of areas. I summarize all of this in my weekly newsletter that I've been writing for 23 years. You can get two free weeks of that newsletter at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show, Week in Review. We do a show Monday through Friday, and then the Week in Review show plays on Saturdays in a lot of markets across the country. As I said before, we have clients all over the country, as my radio show is heard in many cities around America. I've been doing the radio show and the podcast for 23 years. You can find the show on any of the podcast sites or on our website. We archive it every day. You can listen to it live every day. It's GundersonCapital.com. We also we broadcast it live at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it's heard at different times across the country. We have clients from all over the country. We are a virtual firm. I saw the handwriting on the wall many years ago and became a virtual firm. We talk to folks all over America. I've done workshops all over the country, especially before COVID came along. Barry and our team, we talk to folks all across America during the week. And most people start off by getting our newsletter. That goes out to just the clients and the and our subscribers. We have a lot of do-it-yourselfers that follow us because of the ranked in the top 2.5% of all of the writers out there on Seeking Alpha. I have a live trading service that I offer whenever I make a change in one of my portfolios. I send out those trades. So I write the newsletter every week for my live trading subscribers and for our clients. But I offer two free weeks, which shows our portfolios, everything that's in them. They look a heck of a lot different than they did 2 years ago, and I'll get into that here in a little bit. And you can get two free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. You can follow along with us daily through our podcast and live radio show, which is heard in many on many stations across the country. All right, well, we've made a total pivot from a falling interest rate environment to a rising interest rate environment. We talked about the things that are on the railroad tracks getting run over. The innovation ETFs out there, Moonshot, Innovators, all these different ones that invest in long-duration stocks that someday might have earnings, someday might be cash flow positive. That's a terrible place to be invested. You've already seen the carnage that has been created. Many of those innovation funds have lost two-thirds of their value. They entered into a bear market a long time ago, and that continues to be a poor place to be. Instead, you're seeing a market. You know, I also invented the Best Stocks Now app.com, which ranks 6,100 stocks or so on a daily basis. The stocks that are ranked at the top of the heap now are completely different. You're seeing commodity-related stocks. You know, we also heard the word stagflation come up a lot this past week. There's a lot of sectors of the market that don't do well under a stagflation. That means slow growth in the economy and hot inflation. And the Fed, I mean, to make matters even worse, the Fed is now hiking interest rates in a slowing economy, all right? That's usually it's the other way around. They're hiking interest rates in an overheated economy, but we probably peaked, you know, as we came out of COVID, and now things are starting to level off quite a bit. We're seeing it in retail sales. The inflation's taking a bite out of the consumer. Stagflation isn't a good environment for retail stocks, consumer stocks. But it puts upward pressure on commodities, and we're seeing all kinds of commodity stocks, from Freeport-McMoRan to the fertilizer stocks like CF Industries, to the grain stocks like Archer Daniels Midland, and of course the oil stocks. And Barry, this whole war has really brought the oil and the dependence that Europe has on foreign oil, especially from Russia, that's not a good deal. And we're even seeing, Barry, right now, a loosening up, especially in Russia, of oil again. To me, you can weigh in on this, that continues to be bullish for the oil and the gas stocks.
Oh, certainly. I mean, the energy crunch that we're seeing, you know, around the globe. I mean, you've got, in how that's related into food prices. Of course, we've got, you know, we've talked about, you know, the wheat, fertilizer. Those are big, you know, Russia and Ukraine are just, in general, big natural resource producers and exporters. And whether it's, you know, oil, gas, whether it's, you know, wheat, corn, uranium, for example, fertilizer. There's a lot of the Ural Mountains have a lot of resources in there, and those are those exports are all in flux at the moment. And as we've already known, we've had plenty of supply chain disruptions already. So now, you know, tack on. What's happening there in Eastern Europe, and you're just, you know, making the problem even worse.
Yeah, and of course there's been a war on fossil fuels. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Trying to move to a green energy climate, but and Europe has been caught especially hard because they are pretty much dependent upon Russia through the Nord Stream 1 pipeline for their gas. They would love to not buy oil and gas from Putin and Russia. We've turned our backs, and we're not buying any more oil from Russia. We haven't announced a substitute for Russian gas, and that's put oil prices over $100 a barrel. But Europe is in a really big pinch because they can't say no to Putin. Otherwise, they would not have the energy they need. So what they're doing is they're turning to nuclear, some countries. But what we saw this past week is they're starting to allow permits that they haven't allowed in years, especially in Norway. Equinor is the big Norwegian oil and gas company. They're finally starting to approve those permits that have been sitting in limbo hell, bureaucratic hell for years, because they see that they're not ready to just flip the switch to a green economy and green energy overnight. It's going to take a long time, and they got caught being dependent upon Russian oil, and of course they stopped the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. So that just seems to me like it's going to be really bullish. I think they're going to start developing some of their oil fields, drilling. Core Labs is a country out of the Netherlands that is a big oil and gas equipment and field service company. Equinor, and of course a lot of the major oil companies are over there. And I know they're some of the most hated companies in the world right now, but at the same time, Barry, you and I live here on the port, near the port in Charleston, South Carolina, where we always have 4, 5, 6 giant freighters being unloaded from China. They're being offloaded onto trucks that spread out all across America. They're loaded onto railroads. We have an international airport here in Charleston. All of that is dependent upon fossil fuels. And you're just not going to flip the switch overnight. So we are heavily invested now in commodities for the first time in a long time.
And
I got to go
math.
Back to 2012, yeah.
Right.
The last time we saw a commodity boom like this.
Yeah, and if you do the math, I mean, just in transportation costs, that feeds into, you know, any good that you're receiving, right? If you're going to a store, whether you're getting it delivered to your doorstep via, you know, Amazon. I mean, you take one of these, you know, these diesel trucks that pick up the sea cans here at the, as we refer them to here at the port. They roughly get about 5 miles a gallon, right? And so, yeah. If you think about the price of what the move in diesel has done just in the past, month or 2 months, right? It doesn't it gets real expensive real fast when you think about 5 miles a gallon times how that price increase. You can see how, easily those prices can get passed along to us, and we're seeing them in all commodities.
Yeah, and you've got the supply chain crippled. You've got a third of the world's wheat going to come off the market this year because Ukraine's probably won't even get their crop planted. You got to look at investing in a whole different way this year. We give you a lot of advice there in our newsletter. Get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. You can also call us for a portfolio review.
This is Bill.
And welcome back to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Show Week in Review. Well, the elephant's in the room right now in the stock market. Of course, we haven't really brought up the war in Ukraine and what that's done. It's obviously sent oil prices and gasoline prices soaring. And, of course, the sanctions against Putin and his oil. The U.S. has not really at all announced how we're going to replace that oil. They certainly haven't turned to Texas. They certainly haven't turned to Canada. Instead, the U.S. seems to be turning to Iran and Venezuela instead. But in the meantime, there seems to be really no help on the way as far as supply to drive oil prices down, which continues to be pretty bullish for the oil stocks. And, of course, Ukraine is really one of the breadbaskets of Europe and that continent with their produce, their fruit, their wheat, their grain, and a lot of fertilizer that is produced over in that area of the world. There's going to be some major shortages this year, and it's going to really drive up, which is inflationary. Okay, there's the other elephant in the room that I think you can count on, one of the knowns in the market. And the more inflation rages, I don't know that throwing a quarter of a point rate hike at it, Barry, is going to tame the monster. That's why you'll have 7 more rate hikes along the way.
But it's that dovish tightening.
Yeah, that's a dovish tightening. We'll see if dovish tightening can get a hawkish inflation under control. I see inflation being a lot worse than the Fed is letting on to, and I think it's a much bigger problem than we realize. I was around in the 70s when inflation was a massive issue. It nearly brought the consumer to his knees. We finally had to have a bold move by a Fed chairman at that time who raised interest rates up to 20%. Paul Volcker put us into an artificial recession with those high interest rates just to get inflation under control. So, I know Fed Chairman Powell said, I don't see any pressure. I don't see recession as a possibility in the next year. But, of course, he's the one that said inflation was transitory, too, and he was wrong about that. So I do see an elevated risk for recession and maybe another bear market hanging out there somewhere. Another tool that we use in our arsenal, in our quiver, are inverse funds from time to time. If the bond market is under pressure, You can hedge your portfolio, or you can invest in the inverse bond market. When the bond market goes down and interest rates go higher, the inverse ETF goes up. And if these high flying stocks are right on the middle, in the middle of the railroad tracks of rising interest rates, we own the inverse of some of the highest PE stocks out there. A lot of people have heard of the ARK funds. We own SARK, which is just exactly the inverse of ARK funds, and it has lapped ARK funds over the last year. It has doubled since inception, and I've had some tweets and direct messages from Tuttle. He's the guy who started the SARK fund ETF, you know, and saying, hey, thank you for bringing it to people's attention. I said, hey, no problem. It's been real good for us. So there's this is the kind of market that you have to be a little bit on the creative side, and you kind of have to take the knowns, the rising interest rate environment, an inflationary environment, a slowing economy. That's a perfect recipe for stagflation, which is not good for retail, consumer stocks. And, of course, like you said, shipping prices are soaring because of gas prices. The supply chain is still crimped pretty badly. So, there's a lot of areas of the market that are going to be hurt by that you don't want to be invested in. And I think as a 401k investor, I would be thinking value instead of growth. I mean, this has been a growth market for 12 years, but I've seen some pretty good value runs. That's the lower PE stocks, where you find a lot of, commodity types of stocks that are lower PE. Financials also do well in a rising interest rate environment. Not all of them, but a select bunch do very well. Banks do pretty well in a rising interest rate environment. So it's really a time that you can't do what was working in 2020 and half of 2021. The whole world has turned upside down. And if you're in a passive asset allocation and heavily weighted towards growth and bond funds, I mean, you're in exactly the opposite of what this environment calls for. And that's why you might want to give us a call and talk to Barry and our team. He's a chartered financial analyst and a certified financial planner. I'm the money manager, the chief investment officer here. I run the portfolios that we have, and he's the one that determines what's the right mix for you. And, you know, having been through two bear markets, I also really do my best to protect the downside. I've watched the NASDAQ go down 80%. I've watched the S&P go down 53%. You don't want to write that down. And a lot of people did, especially in the year 2000. You have to move on. You have to admit when you're wrong and cut your losses fairly short and go in a different direction when the market does that. And we will have another bear market out there. We certainly have a bear market in a lot of areas of the market right now. Why don't you start by getting our newsletter that I'm working on today. It will go out. You'll have it by tomorrow afternoon. Go to GundersonCapital.com. That's our website, GundersonCapital.com. And if you're a do-it-yourselfer, you will find a wealth of resources here. I make the tools that I use to manage money available to the do-it-yourselfers. I have my BestStocksNowApp.com, which is my own proprietary ranking system of stocks, sectors, asset classes, mutual funds, ETFs, etc. And I have my live trading subscription service. Well, another crazy week, and what's going to come next week? Well, we'll be back next week with another Week in Review show. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite of Gunderson Capital Management. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.